animal companions. This is Joyce, your Radio Reading Service volunteer broadcaster, welcoming you to this edition of Animal Companions, where we read about the animals in our lives and how they affect us. Today I'm going to be reading another chapter from Piglet, The Unexpected Story of a Deaf-Blind Pink Puppy and His Family by Melissa Shapiro, veterinarian, and if we have some time, I'll be reading some articles and newsletters about the animals in our lives. We're going to begin today's readings with the story of Piglet by Melissa Shapiro, veterinarian. Last time we learned that Melissa took Piglet to visit a friend. Piglet proved to be relaxed and cuddly. The other dogs all behaved well and made the neighbors question how Melissa was able to train this little pink puppy as well as her well-behaved dogs. If there had ever been any such thing as the Foodman rules, at the top of them would have been my parents' passion for providing education to all inhabitants of the family. So it was only natural that our dogs were also given classes. Starting in the 8th grade, I began my own enrichment as a teacher in the world of dog training by accompanying our dogs to class. From then on, at every age in my professional and personal life, unless I was bringing home a dog that had already been educated, I made sure to carve out time to take every one of my dogs to learn the basics so important for his or her well-being. As a vet, I encouraged all my clients to look into classes for their new dogs. Some asked for recommendations for where they should enroll, and others chose to do it on their own. High on my list of dog talks topics, my main premise is that the belief that an educated dog is more likely to be a well-adjusted, happy dog. The reasons for formal classes are many: bonding, safety, intellectual stimulation, manners and boundaries, routine, and more. Dog school or private lessons with trainers should preferably happen soon after we bring our dog into our lives, whether as puppies or adult dogs, rescued dogs with baggage or turnkey dogs, they turn from a stable background. Some need time to decompress before heading out to dog school, but all dogs benefit from learning with their person or people. The fact is that dogs' brains need intellectual stimulation. Directed activities are helpful to avoid boredom, anxiety, undesirable behaviors. A lack of direction leads many dogs to destructive behavior that lands some in animal shelters looking for new homes. Starting with our basics, sit, look, down, come, wait, stay, leave it, drop it, and an emergency recall serves as a good foundation and a nice way to establish positive communication and a healthy working relationship with a dog. My first exposure to dog school came at the age of 13 when I took our family's standard Schnauzer Zig to class, and it was a nightmare. Difficult to handle, he was poorly socialized and aggressive toward our friends who innocently entered our home. In those days, dog training was referred to as dog obedience classes, very different from the positive reward-based approach we have these days. Classes I attended with Zig required that we bring food, but the dogs also wore choke chains, collars, which I later viewed as unnecessarily harsh. The dogs were meant to learn not to pull after only a few pops on the choke chain. Once they went through the initial pops to their neck, they mostly did not have to experience the choking sensation, unless they and their handler weren't connecting on the message, in which case the dog continued to pull and choking ensued. Although Zig learned the basics, he never learned to be a well-mannered dog. Despite his thug-like behavior, he stayed with our family because my father couldn't conceive of euthanasia as an option for preventing our dangerous dog from hurting people after a person. And, as my mother realized, having Zig, who was a great guard dog, gave her a sense of security when my father traveled for work. Ziggy was so crazy, no one in the right mind would enter our house with that lunatic ball of fire charging at the door. Whitney, the dog I adopted from Norwalk Pound in the summer right before I was to start vet school, was sweet but wild, and she had 7 severe separation anxieties, which made it difficult to have her with me while starting vet school. After bringing her home at Thanksgiving time to stay with my parents, which I chose to do so that I could adopt April, I returned to Connecticut the following summer and enrolled Whitney in classes given at the local high school in Westport. The main goal was to help address her separation anxiety. Whitney did remarkably well, I thought. The training still relied on the choke chain collar, but Whitney was a very sweet dog and didn't need much correcting. On the last day of class, my parents came to watch the recital. At the end, we had the dog sit and stay behind a curtain. All the dogs stayed except my wee. She came walking around slowly, peering out from behind the curtain. Whitley loved my father, her favorite dad, and he knew Harold Foodman was in the audience. The separation was too much for her, but other than that exercise, she came through with flying colors. She lived happily with my parents until she was 14 when she died from liver failure. While classes are good for dogs and people to deal with issues like aggression or anxiety, I'm also a fan of taking well-adjusted puppies to class for fun and all-around development. When Rachel was 2 and Daniel a baby, back in the golden years of having just 2 dogs, Wendy, a Whippet puppy, and Lucy, a Border Collie puppy, once a week my parents came and stayed with the kids while Warren and I took Wendy and Lucy to their Tuesday night class in Fairfield. Methods were now more moving toward being reward-based and were taught by an exceptional dog trainer. Warren and I had chosen to bring our purebred dogs who came from the reputable breeders. This was an overreaction to a difficult biting dog we had previously rescued. With Wendy and Lucy, who absolutely loved their Tuesday night classes, we went with breeds known for their intelligence, athleticism, and gentle temperament, and for being good around children. We had a great experience and could not have found 2 better dogs for us at that time, whom we loved very much. That said, if I had to do it over again, I would have adopted 2 rescues. I'm still surprised that I generalized 1 difficult experience that I felt I couldn't adopt another rescue when my children were young. When Susie came along, I had decided that even though she was cute and lovable and already a young adult dog, I needed to bring her to class. The major concern was Susie's obsession with chasing chipmunks. Something in her terrier mix DNA or her Tennessee upbringing released a single-minded focus on the pursuit of chipmunks, which generally meant that she would run across our busy road, risking her life for a little chippy. Not leaving anything to chance, Susie and I went over to the nearby dog Gone Smart for classes. We also had a dog trainer come to the house to assess the layout. She'd been running out of our front door and actually left briefly through a hole in the back fence, which Ellie had warned me about earlier in the day. Thankfully, Susie returned unharmed about 15 minutes later, but we knew that we needed reinforcement. We heeded all advice and installed an invisible, that is, an electric fence, around the full perimeter of the backyard fence, which came around to enclose the front of the house. Susie couldn't leave that anymore, but none of these measures ended her obsession with chasing chipmunks and other animals like skunks when we were outside or even inside our doubly fenced backyard. This is why it was crucial for Susie to learn a reliable emergency recall. For this effort, I first had Susie wait with someone else, holding her leash, letting her become very excited about a must-have treat like chicken or some meaty type of food I had in my hand. Then I would walk about 50 feet back away from her, at which point I'd yell, "Here!" and wave my arm around in an enthusiastic, welcoming manner. The person with the leash would let go. Susie would come racing toward me. As soon as she reached me, I would give her the food she was running for. It only took a few times to make it clear to her what "here" meant. The emergency recall is not for the everyday come unless I am reinforcing it to keep it meaningful for the dog. I would only use the event of real emergency when there is an emergency. And it works. Susie has turned on a dime and come right back to me when she was almost nose to nose with a skunk and when she was headed toward a busy street. With dog safety a priority, I taught all the dogs the emergency recall in addition to their regular manners. Unfortunately, a couple of our dogs have been a bit blasé about the emergency recall, but most come racing to me the instant they hear the call. Before Piglet arrived, I became his main teacher. Each of the other 6 dogs had been to class where we'd cover basic manners up to the more advanced dog obedience work. This was all positive reward training that used clicker techniques where we marked good behavior with a click and a treat. The dogs love the activity, they feel special, and it's important for bonding with their person or people, us. My continuing education for each of them, individually and together, is to mix it up and make learning fun, something I've cultivated from years of reading lots of dog training blogs, websites, and books. One of the most pieces of advice that resonated with me was from the top dog blog, that author Susan Garrick, who recommends making everything into a game. This way the dog stays fully engaged and is learning while having fun. That's what I had in mind when I chose to enrich the dog's education by taking them to fun, non-competitive agility classes taught by my dog trainer friend, Betsy Schwartz. In addition to creating games and contests, Betsy made it clear that agility required using everything the dogs had already learned in their basic dog school classes or at home with me. I then set up a small-scale agility course in our backyard, which everybody liked, especially Gina. She is very athletic and agile despite her vision and hearing deficits. She can weave magnificently and fly over hurdles. They all really love our nylon tunnels, including Piggy Lee. Everyone but Annie loved school. She was too shy and really preferred to be working with other dog sibs in a group at a home rather than alone in a formal class. In fact, when she went into agility tunnels at a class and did a little pee, I let her know then and there, "It's okay, Annie, no more classes for you." Annie benefited from the basics, but everyone has a different learning style and the dog school wasn't for her. Zoe has specific needs. When I took her to Dog Gone Smart, she already knew the basics of sit, down, stay, come, and wait. But I was concerned about her resistance to listening whenever anything fell on the floor. She'd hoover it up within a split second. This was the issue we had with the acorns. Zozo missed nothing, and at the smallest and fastest of our group, there was always the danger that she'd grab something potentially toxic, like a grape or a raisin, or that a larger object might get stuck in the back of her throat. This made it especially important for Zoe to recognize and respond reliability to drop it. As soon as I often underscored in my dog talk topic of pet safety, we dog moms and dads have to be knowledgeable of such issues as the deadly dangers of certain everyday foods like grapes and to be ready to act in such cases. It happened one day in our house when I was washing grapes in the kitchen sink for my birds. Somehow one grape bounced off the counter onto the floor. My reflexes had me immediately drop to the floor and to pick it up ASAP. Unfortunately, Zoe's reflexes are faster than mine, and she's much closer to the floor. The grape fell right in front of her nose. My instantaneous "no" and then "drop it" came just as the grape entered her tiny little mouth. Within a split second, to my relief, but not surprise, the grape dropped to the floor with another little bounce. I picked it up and gave Zoe a big, safe reward. Chalk up another victory for dog school and following up reinforcement. Not everything, however, is fixed 100% by classes and practice, like Zozo's typical little dog aggression toward dogs she doesn't know. It can be disruptive and keeps me from taking her to events where there are going to be lots of other dogs. Otherwise, she's a perfectly good dog. This is all to say that during the summer of 2016, when Piglet's learning curve was kicking in, mine was too. After a lifetime of going to hundreds of dog classes, I'd come to the fast conclusion that training a deaf-blind dog was surprisingly similar to working with dogs who can see and hear. What voice and hand signals do for sighted, hearing dogs, tapped signals, and later blowing a stream of air could achieve for Piglet. The key with all dogs is motivating them to have a desire to accomplish a clear goal and then communicating the achievement of that goal. In any language, good boy or good girl spoken with a loving, complimentary tone can work wonders for animals and humans alike. The other running theme in dog education is to identify the strengths and build on them. With Piglet, I had almost forgotten how we began, that he had entered our lives with no form of communication other than instinctive carrying on and screaming. Instead of focusing on his sensory deficits, I was able to steer myself to an obvious but sometimes overlooked strength. He was an avid snuggler, which was also an instinctive trait in both breeds in his mix of Dachshund and Chihuahua. Both of those breeds are into being held, burrowing under blankets, and they also like to bond deeply with their people. Piglet had all of that under control, as did his favorite dad, who took up most of the evening snuggle detail. Piglet also liked practicing what he'd learned alongside the rest of the Shapiro dogs. Whenever I practiced with him by himself, I'd notice the other dogs attentively watching and wanting to get in on the act. After I'd made a conscious decision to incorporate all of them into demonstrations to go along with my talks about teaching tap signals to Piglet, somehow the idea of show evolved without any perceived ideas of its scale of reach. When Warren arrived home from work, or if any kinds of kids or Bama and Pot came around, I'd wave everything over to gather around, either outside in the yard or indoors in the living room. We'd show off our 7-pack's command of the basics. This was what was meant to be fun and games for the dogs. The time had been well spent for boosting confidence, listening skills, impulse control, and positive group dynamics. I continued to incorporate these group tricks into the daily routines, like waiting before everyone starts to eat their food, or waiting to be called one by one out the back door when I am standing out of sight. Piggy, still in learning mode, somehow knew that he was excelling and appeared eager to move to the next level. They were so infectious in their enthusiasm that I thought it would be fun to maybe go and perform for local community groups, a senior center, or an area preschool. This was how, at some point, I'm not sure when exactly, I started calling these demos the Piglet Show. Piggy Lee was such a tenacious worker. Whenever learning something new, his exuberance was contagious. I had my camera out all the time because I wanted to capture moments of Piglet's perseverance as he worked on new skills, how determined he obviously was, and how it felt to me observing. In some magical way, we began ever so quietly to have a sort of dialogue that let me be his voice and vice versa. It just happened. And in the process, the people who were following him on social media got to inhabit his experience and feel happy. This discovery was a subtle one at first, but the comments that were being left on his posts took on a new depth. How seeing him learning agility, jumps with the other dogs, had reminded them of their lives and given them the boost that they needed. The more often these reactions happened, the more I knew that connecting our mission to Piglet, evolving story, was the key to getting our message of advocacy out there. To that end, I was still learning very much a work in progress. Two significant events happened in July. Both involved social media. Ellie, calling and texting from Switzerland during her rare phone breaks, continued to caution me against spending too much time online. Daniel took a middle ground, wait-and-see stance, not sure much would happen beyond where we were. Rachel trekking home on a weekend to come see everyone, always a holiday for the Shapiro dogs, was more enthusiastic about the ways that Piglet's story was good for, one, raising awareness for rescue dogs, special need pets, adoption, and the importance of spaying and neutering. Rachel agreed with Ellie that spending too much time on social media ran the risk of being a huge time destroyer. However, if it was going to do it, raise awareness and gain followers and a large platform, Rachel went so far as to encourage me to expand my use of social media. How? Well, right now you've got your personal page on Facebook and Piglet's got his own. That's great, Mom, but you should also be on Instagram. Her argument was that a lot of Facebookers users were migrating to Instagram. Rachel showed me some adorable pet pages on Instagram that she called influences. I had no idea what that meant, although I was shocked to see that some of the really cute animal internet celebrities had massive followings. I made a note to explore Instagram per her suggestion. In the meantime, one thing I'd been pursuing was having Piggy's story picked up by the Dodo, the media company. They produced short videos with heartwarming animal stories, usually having to do with a harrowing rescue by an animal rescuing a human being or vice versa. Piglet's rescue story fit their profile. When I showed Rachel the story I'd written about Piglet along with some of the videos I sent to the Dodo, she was sure they'd be head over heels and run his story. But I haven't heard back at all, and I've sent them to several different admins. Not a word. After I mumbled something to the effect that I was giving up, Rachel looked at me skeptically. You give up? She gave me a hug and grin and said, no way. Looking back, I'm not sure why I had so much trouble finding the right email address for sending the story and the videos of our adorable pink puppy. Trying one more time, I landed on what appeared to be a trustworthy link for submitting stories, and one more time sent in my write-up of Piglet's story. A short while later, just before the 4th of July holiday, I was reading over comments on Facebook about Piglet's funny antics when an email popped up that was a notice from someone at the Dodo that they were going to run the Piglet story that I had submitted. We were pumped and announced to the family and a few friends to be on the lookout for the Dodo video about Pigletty on Facebook. 3 days later, on July 16, 2017, the Dodo video titled Blind and Deaf Puppy Rescued from Hoarding Situation ran on their platform. The numbers were incomprehensible. We had by this point accumulated thousands of followers, and that was crazy enough. Shortly after the video's release, it accumulated about 13 million views and over 4,000 comments. I have heard the expression going viral before, but I had never imagined my pink piglet actually going viral. As a result, Piggy's Facebook page grew by the thousands overnight. And it wasn't just the Dodo clip. Knockoffs were soon being released, sometimes without anyone notifying us. But every time they were, anyone and any wave of the followers would like Piglet Facebook. After a few months later, the Dodo released the same video as a setup to another video about Piglet finding his forever home as part of the Dodo Impact series. This one adding another initial million viewers, and the following spring, a third video was released about Piglet as part of their Little But Fierce series that co-starred the rest of his dog siblings and underscored the message of hope and positivity he was bringing to the world. In preparation for that video, I had done a Skype interview, but had no idea they were recording it to include me in the video. Even when we saw the first video and learned that there had been 13 million views, we were still in the bubble of the internet with lots of followers and comments, but from people we didn't really know. By the time the fall came round, however, Piglet was starting to be recognized on the streets. He took it all in as if he had known all along that this was going to happen. Warren and I kept expecting for the hoopla to fade and for us to go back to our normal life of a regular family in the suburbs with seven dogs, of course, one of whom was deaf-blind pink puppy. But that didn't happen, not by a long shot. As overwhelming and exciting as it had been for Piglet to have a public outing on the global platform of the Dodo in a video that drew in a mammoth-sized audience, something even more important happened in July. Even if I didn't yet know how important it was. That was when I first responded to a comment from a third grade teacher, Tricia Frago of Plainville, Massachusetts, who mentioned she was going to share Piglet with her students to show them the amazing things that can be accomplished no matter who or what stands in your way. I offered at the time to create a personalized video for her students. In the process of making that video, I decided to do more and create a full PowerPoint presentation in video format that told the pink puppy's story in a language that I knew would be accessible to them. In the fall, Tricia had followed up to say how much her students loved it and how they had brainstormed about Piglet's growth mindset. This was at the center of an educational program she was developing for her students, along with activities and lesson plans. With all my goals and intentions to guide Piglet to his purpose, elementary school education hadn't been in my thinking. In fact, I honestly had no idea what a growth mindset even was, although in time I was going to learn all about it. Next week, we'll read Chapter 10, Piglet on the Move, and find out just exactly what a growth mindset is in Piglet, the unexpected story of a deaf-blind pink puppy and his family, written by Melissa Shapiro, veterinarian. Well, that brings us to the conclusion of Animal Companions for today. I do hope you've enjoyed the readings, and I invite you back again next time to hear more stories about the animals in our lives. Until then, this is Joyce for Animal Companions and for Sun Sounds of Arizona, a radio reading service. Be well, everyone. Stay healthy. Be happy. Bye-bye.